From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, both in the Clark Ford studio this morning. The Ole Miss baseball team coming off a big series win against Texas A&M, winning on Thursday, losing on Friday, and then winning on Saturday to take the series from the Aggies, all one-run games. A couple of Ole Miss wins, though, moves them up to number four in the nation today, at least with Baseball America and Perfect Game, as of this recording or me speaking. Those are the two that have come out. As like last week also, number four is the highest ranking for Ole Miss in the regular season since number two in 2008, and a big week ahead is per the Perfect Game poll. They get number 16 Southern Miss on Tuesday night in Oxford, and then host number five Arkansas Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Oxford as well. The Razorbacks coming off a series loss against Florida where they won the opener and then lost the final two against the top-ranked Gators. We'll talk some baseball today. Spring football was open on Saturday. There's some videos and everything's up on the site at rebelgrove.com. Also, Russell, 50 recruiting updates over the weekend in the thread on the message board. So if you'd like a 50 count of chicks, they are there.
Russell stepped up this weekend.
Yeah, we had a lot going on. Russell, it was basically Russell Grove for about 48 hours.
It was
the course of the.
It happens.
Yeah. So. Appreciate him for that help. And with the Oxford Exxon and Oxford Crystal, we've been telling you that coming up April 7th, Chad Kelly is going to be in town. He's going to be at the Oxford Exxon before the spring game. And you can go see him, get an autograph, get a picture, just have a little conversation with Chad. And for everybody that walks in for that, $5 to the Magnolia Speech School. So you get to have a little fun, a little entertainment, and help a great cause at the same time at the Oxford Exxon. And as Neil can attest here recently, you should go get your car or truck at Clark Ford.
You should indeed. 662-257-1900 is the number. You can call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. I've done this. It literally works like this. I didn't tell him who I was. I asked for Corey, and I got Corey. And then we went through the process. It was very simple.
You don't have like a bat phone that you just...
No, I mean, I'd like a bat phone.
Okay.
But I don't know what we'd talk about. I guess we'd start talking about the Cubs here starting Thursday. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell him what Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote. It's really simple. It's right to the bottom line. It's just very efficient. It is no haggling. It's just kind of right to the bottom line. You get a quote, and then it's up to you. You can think about it. You can chop it around. You can do whatever. Or you can join the legion of podcast listeners, which now includes me, who own a Clark Ford thanks to the podcast and thanks to the people at Clark Ford. They take the hassle out of the car buying experience. They'll do it for you as well. 662-257-1900. This didn't work for me, but it will for you. At the end of your deal, tell Corey, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts. If you just be a sweetheart, you can mention all of our podcasts. And that'll take $500 off your bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
I'm really upset you didn't get the deal still. I'm just.
He probably would tell you that I did get the deal. It just, I didn't get to do the little dramatic thing at the end. But I talked to his salesperson, Alan, who delivered mine, and he said, yeah, we get that all the time. I'm like, good.
That's the purpose.
That's
the goal.
Point. That's the goal.
It's funny. I have one little thing. Anecdotal here, some things that bothered me over the course of the weekend. There's usually several, and I really should, like Adam Carolla does, the Buck Slips where he just writes down what's bothering him at all hours of the day so we can talk about it later.
Not a bad idea.
No, I probably should do that because I forget something. But so Saturday morning, had Carly Ann's birthday party. At a Cloud Nine, by the way, for toddler birthdays. Great place with a bunch of inflatables in a very confined area where they can just run around and go crazy for an hour.
Yes.
Good spot for that.
It is.
First time I'd been in that that establishment, but I recommend it. Ad-free, no ad. I wouldn't have to hashtag ad on that if I was tweeting it. But as would to be expected, a little frazzled that morning, trying to go get cupcakes, trying to go get balloons that had been blown up, you know, all the but basically making a two-year-old birthday look like an inaugural ball on Saturday morning. And as we do with Carly Ann most days, or not most days, most weeks, usually once a week, and since it was her birthday, she loves hash browns. It's her thing. She really likes hash browns.
I do too.
So because I'm on that side of town, I didn't have time to get over somewhere else, and I had to go through McDonald's to get the hash brown. And I've got...
She likes the hash brown patty.
Well, no. She likes any hash brown, but that was just my easiest option because of that side of town.
Fair enough.
I was running a little late. McDonald's was the way to go.
Gotcha.
So, you know, McDonald's is the one place that does the two-lane drive-through. You know, you got two sets of... Help me
it's
here.
It's been a while.
You're not aware of this?
I've not been to McDonald's in probably a decade.
Okay, can you Google McDonald's drive-thru for me to see this, where they have two separate ordering stations, one you kind of split.
Oh, wait,
I've
seen this. This is, Chick-fil-A has this in Memphis near where Carson plays.
Okay, fair enough.
Soccer there.
All right. Well, look, there's a big yellow sign up top that says you stay in the left lane until you get to the windows, and then you branch out to the two other to the right if you have room. Does that make sense?
I'm looking at it right now.
All right. Yep. This does not look complicated, right?
Well, look, this is Neil being a jackass and a smartass.
Yeah.
Apparently, I belong in the ass family because I qualify in a lot of these deals.
Okay.
You're assuming.
Yeah.
And in the words of Coach Donald Bartlett at Ruston High School, you know what happens when you assume.
Yes.
I heard this a lot.
Okay.
When I would say, well, I assumed that he heard me check to cover two. Well, you know what happens when you assume.
Yeah.
You know, it was always like he always thought that was, each time that was profound.
Really clever, actually.
And it's like, you know, I've heard it now 1,000 times. I'm good. He makes an ass out of you and me. Anyway, you're assuming that people read.
But not even read. Just the common sense of this. So.
No. Whoa.
Okay.
Hold up.
But let me give you the scenario.
But you're assuming common sense.
I know. So I'm over in the left lane waiting to do whatever. And there's a bunch of us following directions and being normal human beings.
Orderly.
Following.
There's an order.
So I'm sitting there forever, though. It's busy. I'm not really blaming them being slow. It was incredibly busy. A couple of little league teams had gone inside to order right in front. I understood the reasoning that we were having to sit there in line a little bit.
Yeah, there was
105 little league teams in town Saturday.
Literally.
Yeah, no,
the tournament started on Friday, and so you can imagine how busy McDonald's
was. There were also 100 individual tennis players in town Saturday. So I got what we were doing, but the line is backed up all the way on the left, and every 45 seconds, there'd be some expletive inserted here, just drive straight to the right lane and clog it up and skip everybody else. Did they just think we all decided to sit in the left lane for the heck of it, even though there was a completely open lane on the right? I mean, what is the thought process for this? And the answer is there isn't one. I understand that.
I mean, I'll answer a question.
Okay, go ahead.
We're not all the same. Some people are truly too stupid to be on the earth with us.
It was either stupid or rude.
Well, it's both.
Okay.
But I think it's more stupid than it is rude. Because I generally...
Look, they're all in that lane. I can jump in real quick.
I generally believe it or not, this is going to shock people that have listened to me on this podcast for the last, 6 years now?
Yeah, whatever.
I generally believe in the goodness of people. Yeah. I think generally people are good.
One of your favorite phrases is we are a forgiving society.
Yes. But I do believe, and I'm sorry, I can't help this. I get email from people. I get interaction from people. And I have absolutely no doubt that there are people that are just not smart.
So it does two things when you move to the right. Number one, it slows everything down even more. It sets everybody else back in line for how many ever people do this. And then number two, the reason that it's set up the way it is that the people that have gone inside or either are trying to go around to the other side of the restaurant, you're blocking them from being able to do so because a line forms all the way down the right side as well.
Right.
There is a systemic function to this.
But you're asking people at that point to conceptualize. And I'm telling you, I'm telling you, man, there are people that can't. And for the people out there that are going, you're a snob. You think you're better than those people. You're right. I am, and I do. There. If that makes you feel better, then I will admit that. That I think it with some people, my intellect makes me superior to them. It is true. And there are people who are far more intellectual than me who I view as superior to me. So there is a pecking order.
As we've said 1,000 times, when we go in for surgeries, we'd like the surgeon to be the smartest guy in the room and the richest.
Yeah. When I walk in to find, like you know, I find out, I've used this with my dad. When my dad had his heart surgery. And the guy came in, and he probably had on a pair of boots that were more expensive than any item of clothing I've ever even thought of owning.
Yeah.
I did not at any point think to myself, you rich bastard. I thought, good, we're in good hands. And when he said, and I quote, he's going to be all right. I'm really good at this.
Okay.
And so that night, after he performed a surgery that allowed my father to continue to live, when he went home and had a glass of $600 Cabernet, I'm good. I don't care. I support that. Good for him. Because the alternative is he's a butcher, and he goes home and has a glass of $13 Cabernet, and my dad's getting buried. No, I'm good with the other way. We're not all equal. And when you go in, you want, it's like when you pay money to see a professional game. You don't want to watch a dude throw 71 miles an hour. No, you want to watch Clayton Kershaw. Because he can do something you can't do. I want to watch Kevin Durant. I don't want to watch some 5'9" white dude who can't make a shot. And when a guy comes in to do the heart surgery, I want him to be the richest, most arrogant son of a bitch in the room. Yep, all day. If my kid needs surgery to save his life, yep, I want the really rich dude who drives like a $165,000 car and who that night will pour a glass of wine out of a bottle that would cost me $600. That's what I want. I want that.
Putting a bow on this, as I was sitting there, my thought was, I'm surprised there aren't more fights. That people running really late with kids screaming in the background and get passed and passed and passed, that you don't have people literally yelling out windows at other people and confronting them. I'm surprised there's not more confrontation.
General goodness.
You're pissed, but you yell at yourself. You just yell to yourself.
You just eat it. General goodness. And I think we're all conditioned now to know, hey, you get out of a car and go out. You don't know who's armed, who's not. You just have to, it's just McDonald's. But it is very frustrating.
I was frustrated because I was already kind of amped anyway. And it went fine. It was good. Good day.
Has Carly Ann reviewed her party? Was she satisfied? Did it go well?
She really liked the little remote control Power Wheels thing at the end of the day. She got two doses of Cloud9 because she had her own party, and then there was another 2-year-old party there later in the day that she attended as well. So she double dipped on that one.
Yeah, good for her.
She ended up back at a party at McDonald's later in the day too. So
a good day to be a 2-year-old.
It was a good day to be a 2-year-old.
Tired to sleep at the end of the day, or just crashed?
Didn't nap well, but crashed pretty good at the end of the day.
Good.
Yeah, that was that.
You poured a glass of something, I assume?
Yeah, I got out of there. Jeffrey and I went and played golf. Just kind of whatever. So it's good. It's fine.
Good.
Good weekend. I can't complain. It's fine. All right.
I had, let's see, we left. Carson and I pulled out of here at about 10 a.m. to go to Memphis. He had soccer. He had a game at noon. No, we left before 10. We left at 9 something. Because we went to the little place up on the square, the little service station right off the square that has the homemade biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that was good. I had a chicken biscuit. I regretted it the rest of the day just because of calories, but it was really good. Anyway, we had that. He had a game. We went and got lunch. He had another game. We got in the car and drove back to Oxford. We listened to Loyola and who were they playing? Who they beat? Kansas State.
They did, yeah.
We listened to that game. We got back, ran to Kroger, threw some, got some stuff to throw on the grill. I grilled while he got in the shower. Caroline had a dance thing in Memphis, so they were much later than us. And then I had to get back up yesterday morning and go back to Memphis for more soccer. And it was like 10 degrees yesterday on that soccer field in Memphis.
Get into baseball a little bit. You wrote about it. I wrote a column basically discussing it as well after Saturday. It was the fatal flaw of last year's team, and it is a major advantage for this year's group, at least through 26 games, whatever it is. They're very tough. They keep coming at times that, especially on the road, it would be very easy to just kind of lay down, rest on your laurels for a day, and say, hey, we'll get them tomorrow. We got good starting pitching. But they outscored Texas A&M 10-3 from the seventh inning on, cumulatively, over the three games. A&M has really good starting pitching, has a really good offense, doesn't have a bullpen, and can't field. Two pretty big flaws there. Somebody said on the message board, and they were exactly right. You know, I think it might have been Andy Kennedy talks about you see the warts of your own team more than everybody else's.
Yes.
It goes for fans, too, a lot, because if you watch – take A&M, top 15 team – if you watch them every day trying to be critical, you would find plenty of reasons to be critical of a college baseball team, whomever that college baseball team is. A&M has those two flaws, and Ole Miss was able to, over time, exploit them enough to get two wins in College Station, a place that's very tough to play, an incredibly weird environment, goes with their entire campus and university, for that matter.
Yes.
Thursday night, the crowd wasn't good because they were playing the Sweet 16, getting hammered by Michigan. But
understandable.
The rest of the weekend, good crowds. They were blowing bubbles. They were doing their chants. They were doing the waves and all that stuff.
They're really good, too.
They're good, yeah.
No, they're really good.
Have really good starting pitching, and they really hit.
Well, they really hit. Well, that's a lot of baseball.
That's two-thirds of the game.
Pitch hit. They're good. They're going to make a postseason run.
Yeah, I have a confident feeling they're going to make a regional.
Yeah, it's locked in stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Locked in concrete, as someone would say.
The basis for what I was writing was I got a text from somebody Saturday, right after the game, as soon as the game ended, that said, Ole Miss is playing like LSU. And I knew what they meant. It wasn't about LSU this year. It was just in general. And Ole Miss fans should know this, and for the baseball fans. Every time something late in the game, especially at Alex Box, but wherever, the momentum sort of starts to tide to LSU and the other team sort of doubts itself and goes, oh, here we go, the whole deal, rigmarole.
Yeah, sure.
Ole Miss has a little of that right now for whatever reason that's been established.
I'll give you the reason.
Okay.
Because as freshmen, they found out in the hardest way possible. But I'm a big NBA guy. You know that. I'm a big believer in what I'm about to say, with almost no exception. There was a debate on the message board this week about what's the value of the NBA playoffs if the results are sort of predetermined. I'll give you an example. The Philadelphia 76ers are not going to win a title this year, Chase. They're going to make the playoffs. And Jonathan Simmons and Joel Embiid and those guys are going to experience playoff basketball. Now, there's only one way you can learn about how difficult playoff basketball is, and that's to play playoff basketball, which means the odds are your first experience is going to be negative. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it toughens you. It makes you more resilient. I was listening to someone inside the Denver Nuggets organization say that very thing. They need to make the playoffs. They need, even if it means Houston kicking your ass for four games, double-digit losses, those young players need to experience that feeling, what it is. And so I think extrapolating that to Ole Miss baseball, those kids last year, kids who have had lots of success, got into a deal where it was kind of like the playoffs, and they were sort of like an 8 seed, and they got their ass kicked some. They were in some games. They found out that, hey, hitting at this level is a little harder than I thought it was going to be. Little things matter at this level. You got to be a little more focused day in and day out. You got to be a little more resilient day in and day out. You're going to play teams kind of like sometimes you're going to run into LeBron. And you got to be resilient. You got to bounce back. Going to have breaks go against you. It's a long day. This isn't high school ball where we're going to roll out the baseball and roll out our batting helmet. We're just going to be better than Saltillo and beat them. We might fall behind, but we're better than them, and we're going to beat them. We have more good players. No, at this level, you're going to play games. They just got through playing three games that last year they would have lost all three.
Well, I mean, Thursday night's the perfect microcosm of what you're talking about because, I mean, Stephen Kolek, the starter for Texas A&M, I don't think he gave up a hit from the third to the seventh when he finished his outing. A&M's controlling the game. They're up 4-2, and then they bring in Nolan Hoffman, who had not allowed an earned run all season, and immediately four straight hits, boom, 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 boom. Ole Miss has a lead, and suddenly here you go rolling. I mean,
well, they grinded.
Yeah,
they Kolek were resilient.
In a lot of games against a lot of teams, Kolek would have just put that thing away, and it'd have been done.
Yes, they grinded. They were resilient. They're better than they were a year ago, even though for the most part they're the same kids. They're better because of what they experienced a year ago. Just like next season, the Sixers will be a threat. Because they're going to get some playoff experience. And it will make a complete difference in the way that they approach the following season. Everyone loves to do the Michael Jordan's the greatest thing. There's a lot of revisionist history, and he is the greatest. Don't get me wrong. Michael Jordan lost some playoff series before he won a title, Chase. Kobe Bryant, in his first playoff experience, ended it by missing an air ball. There's no better teacher than adversity. This team had some adversity last year.
And they're going to have adversity this year.
Oh,
they're
it's
not,
coming.
They're not going 45-11. They're going to lose some games. It's going to be all right.
Are you saying – because they've only lost two right now.
Three.
Oh, they've lost three?
Yeah.
So you're saying they're going to lose more than eight times the rest of the way?
Yeah, I know. Really ought to make sure what's in Mike's contract, see if you might could.
Rest in peace, RebelGrove.com.
Yeah, guys, they're playing four top 20 games this week. They're playing three top five games this week. Arkansas hit 13 home runs against Kentucky two weekends ago.
Oh, sounds like you're bracing people for
chill,
a loss.
Chill. Chill.
I thought, and I wrote this, I think. I can't really remember what I wrote yesterday, if I'm honest. I didn't get started until late in the day. I was not motivated to write, and then I was distracted by stuff. I thought Friday night, even though they lost the game, was as good of an indication of what this team is. I thought it was more of an indicator than Thursday, and in many ways, more of an indicator than Saturday. You're down 7-2. You'd won the night before. Be real easy to go, hey, it's all right.
We'll hand James the ball tomorrow and see what happens.
We're okay. Wasn't our night. Let's get out of here. What are we having for dinner back at the hotel?
Yeah.
They didn't do that. They grinded.
Michael Fitzsimmons has a pinch hit grand slam.
But
7-6.
You had to have the bases loaded to hit the grand slam.
Yeah. And they got the runner to second in the ninth. Just couldn't get him
home. They grinded. I thought that was –
They're stressing opponents even in losses.
Yes.
And that's huge over the course of three-game series and day after day after day.
Of course. I thought Friday night was as good a sign for them as anything. I did. You could watch the series, and I watched a lot of it. You could watch the series and see that both of those teams are very good. They played 3 one-run games. I don't know what else you need to prove it. A&M was a foot away from tying it on Saturday.
Yeah.
And that ball was almost out of there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really good series. Two really good teams that I thought stressed each other and pushed each other. And they were probably sick of each other by the end of it. But – I don't know. I'm a big believer in adversity develops character and all of those things in sports.
Yeah.
And so. This team clearly, to me, is a little more – I said this – I think I'll give myself credit. A month ago I said it. They're a mentally tougher team. I'm not even around them. I haven't talked to any of them. I'm not sure I'd recognize them on the street. They're a mentally tougher team than they were a year ago. A year ago they – not folded. I don't mean it the wrong way, but they were young, and it showed. And now they're not as young, and it shows.
Continue our baseball conversation in a second. First, I want to tell you about a new partner with the podcast here at RebelGrove.com and the Oxford Exxon podcast. Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel. Completely free service for anyone wanting to use it. They specialize in Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacations. Take the stress out of planning. Take care of dining and fast pass reservations, transportation, anything else related to your vacations. An expert in getting you out of line and onto more rides no matter the crowds. You know, there'll be some of those at Disney World. Mention the podcast and get a $25 Disney gift card for booking a vacation. You can contact Tim for a free, no obligation quote at Brandon at Keys to Dream Travel. That's K-E-Y-S-T-O dreamtravel.com or 901-634-8687 as it gets into vacation time. A great resource there to get you there in as little stress as possible. So again, Brandon with Keys to Dream Travel.
Would you rather go to the Keys or to Disney?
Oh, the Keys.
All day.
Not even close.
Not even.
And I've never been to Disney.
I've done Disney.
Yeah, I'll have to, I know, but I haven't yet. And
I've done Disney World once as an adult, and I've done Disneyland once as a kid.
That's interesting, being from the South, that you've done Disneyland more than Disney World.
Yeah, and maybe twice as an adult I've been to Disneyland.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of like Disneyland better than Disney World.
Okay.
But I haven't done Disney World like the whole week-long thing.
Yeah.
Anyway. Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. So give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give him a call, go to Google, read Romero Miller State Farm reviews, and then if you have insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, give Romero Miller a call. Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown at 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. It's a $500 savings, so call him today. Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. Gambrell & Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
Podcast also brought to you by Tyson Drugs. TysonDrugs.com is the place to go to see all the options they give you to fill out forms and make your prescription service easy. 662-252-2321 if you'd like to give them a call for Sildenafil or any other option we tell you about all the time. Also now in Oxford as well on South Lamar with G&M Pharmacy there. So they deliver local and give you great hometown service. The big thing that I thought was interesting on Saturday, and this is really a credit to Mike Bianco, because I don't think 10 years ago, 15 years ago, he does this. He went to Dallas Woolfolk really early in the game, fourth, fifth inning on Saturday, kept Caracy in for the ninth, is the closer after his really good game Thursday, but used Dallas just in, and this is something that major leagues have started doing more too, high leverage situations whenever that high leverage situation is for one of your premium arms. They went to Wolf Oak early. He was able to give them some innings. They got out of some jams, got them to a point that they had to get. I mean, from a bullpen management standpoint, now it helps when you've got a lot of premium arms back there. But he managed it really well. He goes and gets James McArthur after 1.1 innings or something on Saturday because, frankly, the umpire had a really small strike zone. A&M hits fastballs, and McArthur throws a lot of fastballs. It wasn't going to work. The longer you leave him in there, they're just going to hit him. So
yeah,
he goes and he recognizes this. Goes
it was
and gets
a really tight zone, by the way.
Yeah. Gets him out of there early, and then Etheridge, Wolf Oak, Caracy, Fowler. You know, that Fowler gets a double play at a point where A&M could have run away with that game a little bit early. Yeah. And it was managed almost kind of perfectly, including using guys outside their normal roles just because you needed them at that point. And that's a big step for this team. And frankly, that's something that I wasn't sure I would see from Mike, but that he hit a home run with.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a whole lot you can add to that. Sometimes you have to manage games differently because of things that happen. And some of the panic over the starting pitching, by the way, just relax.
Brady Feigl had one really bad inning where he lost some release point and then kind of freaked out for a second.
He did.
And that happens. It's fine.
Probably a little overamped.
Yeah.
First conference, big conference game.
Yeah. First big crowd they'd really seen because they didn't see the big crowd on Thursday. I mean, his start was the first one where it was sort of live and there. And
you know, and like you said with McArthur, I mean, it's just a really tight zone. It was tight for both guys.
Yeah.
He just was going to call a little box.
But A&M's a fastball-hitting team, and James throws a fastball.
You're having to throw fastballs. They're looking for fastballs, and you know the rest of the story. They're interesting going forward. But, you know, we could be having this conversation a week from now after they go 1-3 during the week, and they're still just as good of a team, just as dangerous. But you're playing good teams, and you're going to play a bunch of good teams in the league. That's why I saw – someone said 19-11 is kind of an over-under. Maybe it was Kendall Rogers or someone.
For national seed purposes?
Well, no, they were just like projecting.
Oh, it was Warren Nolan using their computers.
Yeah, if you offered 19-11 to Mike today, I think he'd take it.
Well, yeah.
19-11 makes you a national seed.
You would take 18-12 just because it's 18-12. I mean,
sure.
You know, if you really loved your team, you might not take 17-13. Even though I'd have to really think about
it,
because
really
it's a guaranteed give it some, host.
You'd have to give it some thought.
But, yeah, anything above that, gravy. Around the SEC, Vanderbilt takes 2 out of 3 from LSU in Nashville, winning the first and the last game there. Winning the last one 1-0 over the Tigers. LSU won the middle game 6-2. As we mentioned, Arkansas loses the last two in the series. They get blown out on Saturday, like 17-2 or something. And then lose 5-4 to the Gators in Gainesville on Sunday. Tennessee sweeping Alabama on the weekend. So, look, Tennessee's not good. Alabama's not good. But you'd rather play the team and beat the team. It's a little better. So Tennessee.
Someone who ever made the schedule, Arkansas ought to be a little upset with them. Hey, go to Florida and Ole Miss on back-to-back weekends, fellas. Have fun.
Well, and they opened with Kentucky, who was the top 10 team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get off to a good start, gentlemen. Then we'll see. I mean, if you're Arkansas, it's just survive this and then – hey.
Sure.
I mean, you swept Kentucky, so you're in good shape. You're fine still. But, you know, it's like with Ole Miss. I mean, the goal after the first three series was just tread some water. Just survive. Go to state 5-4, you know, and they've got a good chance now to do that. Auburn loses 2 out of 3 to Kentucky, I believe, if I'm in right in saying that. I think Kentucky came back and won Friday night in the big pitching matchup. And then one other one. Georgia sweeps South Carolina. Georgia 5-1 in the SEC through the first two weekends. Hadn't played anybody. They played Alabama in the other series. But Georgia might be a little better, that little engine that could with 27 scholarships, somehow trying to make its way back to regional play.
I bet there's some good youth baseball players in Georgia, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that you might could recruit in Cobb and Gwinnett counties. Just a hunch there.
But. It's really remarkable that job's the way it is. That is, like, you talk about ranking jobs.
And I keep putting them in the top four, but then I question myself and go, well, something is flawed, right? I mean, I almost wonder if it's kind of like A&M football being flawed, where there's just some sort of internal thing that causes problems.
Well, you know
there.
What causes it with A&M? It's a cult. With Georgia, it's not a cult. Georgia's, like, really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, Athens is awesome.
and stadium and fan support do not have direct effects on college baseball.
No. Athens is really cool. It's in a state. You have lots of scholarships to give in a fertile area.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
But they have been terrible since Dave Perna.
It's weird.
And he was inconsistent.
I mean, I get why A&M's weird, because A&M's weird. But Georgia's not weird. Georgia's cool. I mean, everything about Georgia, like, screams we're going to be really good in college baseball. Everything.
Yeah, the profile is perfect.
Oh, my God.
And then?
It's what Ole Miss would be if it had 27 scholarships.
Yeah.
And yet, I don't know.
And I'm being hyperbolic on 27, but they still have a lot more than 11.7.
At 20.
Depending on how many in-state kids you had with the grades, I mean, yeah.
That's my point. There's lots and lots of in-state kids who probably have good grades who play baseball. Lots. More than you could take.
Missouri takes 2 out of 3 from Mississippi State over the weekend in Columbia.
Missouri off to a 3-3 start.
Missouri 3-3 and got ranked this weekend. They've only lost one home game all season. They're beating the teams they're supposed to beat. They played well against LSU. And Mississippi State 1-5 in the SEC through the first 2 weekends as they have gotten swept and then losing 2 out of 3 in Columbia. Bulldogs scuffling a little bit.
I know it's a road rivalry thingy. That's a series Ole Miss could really change their profile instead of winning 2 by winning 3. Forget the rivalry crap. I'm talking about numbers.
You know, I'm having a hard time finding wins for State just in general. I mean, they're staring at maybe being one of those teams that misses the SEC tournament if they don't find something because they don't have a lot of pitching around other than Pilkington.
12?
12. Yeah, 12. Two teams don't go. I mean, it's a very low bar, obviously. But, I mean, look at this schedule a little bit for a second with Mississippi State.
Okay.
They go to Baton Rouge next weekend.
Be lucky to
You're
get
not going
to
win more than one, most
Be
likely.
Lucky to get one.
They come back home and play Ole Miss. They're not winning that series unless Ole Miss gives it to them.
They'll be fortunate to get more than one.
They go to Auburn.
They'll get one.
They're not beating Mize on Friday night.
Probably
I wouldn't,
not
unless Pilkington just throws his tail off. They come back home and play Arkansas.
Be fortunate to get more than one.
Then they stay home and play Texas A&M.
Be fortunate to get more than one.
The weekend that they've got to make a lot of hay, they go to Tuscaloosa, but it's on the road.
Not sweeping.
And then they finish with at Kentucky and home against Florida.
A lot of losses.
It's just not there for them. I mean, there's no path to anything of substance there, is there?
No.
I mean, I know there's 8 weekends left, and State fans can record this and play it back at me 1,000 times if they make a run, but I do not see 15 conference wins there.
What's their record right now?
1-5.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of are who you are.
They'd have to go 14-10 the rest of the way to make the postseason. And on that schedule.
Be a hell of a coaching job on that schedule.
Yeah, Gary Henderson, congratulations. If he could pull that off with that. This season was sunk because they weren't great to begin with. I think they were overranked by D1 baseball to start with, and then – you've got all the off-field chaos that is probably going to become an issue as they lose more and more and more games. So, yeah, good luck to Gary. Good coach. I'm sure he'll find another gig, but tough spot for him here with Cohen in the box too and stuff. So, anyway, I don't know. That's where they are. SEC standings do not matter. It's too early to even really care. Ole Miss 4-2. All that really matters, you're trying to get to a number, and they're on a good spot to get to that number. So
you think they're trying to need to get to 18? 18 is the magic
18
number.
Historically for Ole Miss has not done it. Now the
think they have to get the 19?
Well, okay, here's the complications. The non-conference wasn't as good as it was supposed to be, and that's not Ole Miss's fault. Teams just haven't played up to their profiles. Tulane, they need Tulane to be a 500 AAC team. We'll see.
Okay.
They need Long Beach to figure things out a little bit. We'll see.
Yep.
Don't know.
What's their RPI right now?
Ole Miss?
Yeah.
3. It's early, but 3. It's early.
Yeah.
But 3. Okay, Ole Miss got a national seed in 2005 at 18-12.
Okay.
Ole Miss did not get a national seed in 2004 at 18-12. Ole Miss did not get a national seed in 2009 at 20-10. Ole Miss did not get a national seed in 2014 at 19-11. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're not in a vacuum. You're not in a bubble. There's so many other things that go on, and frankly...
Frankly, it's SEC play. They're going to take a certain number of SEC teams and make them national
seeds.
And
like in 2016, and it is what it is, and I firmly believe this, Ole Miss, while they have a lot of national respect, their shirts do not say Titans or Tigers across the front.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I mean, you know, Ole Miss had a much stronger season than LSU in 2016. LSU got the national seed, and everyone who was asked why goes, eye test. That's the dumbest cop-out answer in the world.
Well, I was going to say, the one advantage they have this year is that, obviously, Mississippi State's not going to be a national seed. The other is that it doesn't appear that LSU is going to be a national seed at this point. It doesn't appear that they're that strong.
No,
and that's going to help in terms of the regional portion of this.
The SEC West teams with national seed aspirations are Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Arkansas. And A&M's lost two series in a row to begin their season.
Right. And A&M's far enough away geographically that
that's not in their region.
They don't impede on the region. Arkansas, to some degree, might.
Could. Still, but it's State, LSU, and then you don't need Auburn to get crazy smunky.
Right. Yeah.
And I think Auburn is that really good team that might host, but they're probably not good enough to jump into that top eight conversation, is my opinion.
And then in the East, how many of those teams are national seed worthy? Florida, obviously.
Florida, and then if Kentucky figured their things out, but suddenly, you know, I mean, we'll see. They got a shot.
Of the eight, they're not going to give the SEC more than four. They're just not.
Probably not going to give them. It's hard to get three.
Yeah, so that's what you're up against.
Yeah, it's really hard to get three.
Because they are going to, by God, grow the game.
And Florida's getting one.
Yeah.
As I should. Not.
Florida's going to get one, and one or two SEC West teams will get one. And that's that. Because they're going to grow the game. It's not even a criticism anymore. It's just a statement of fact. They're going to grow the game. They are going to be warriors in that room. That's what they're going to do. It is what it is. You have to accept it. At some point, you have to accept it.
It appears that Ole Miss basketball is at least targeting kids with fairly high rankings next to their names.
They are. They're going after some high-level players. We'll see. It's late in the game on a lot of these guys, but some of these guys are not signed. And there's some kids that are opening up because of coaching changes. And then the transfer market's out there. They're active. They still have an open assistant spot that they haven't filled that may or may not be related to what they do in recruiting. It's a little early. We'll see. Going to be an active – today's March the 26th. It's going to be an active 3 weeks, that's for sure.
When will Ole Miss know what the roster looks like for 2018-19?
End of April, they'll have a pretty good look, pretty good feel for it. 1st of May. The transfer market could go into May.
Could it?
Yeah. You know, kids that are transferring as grad transfers, they have power. They have leverage. They can shop around. They've already graduated. They're eligible to play right away. They can look around. And they typically do. And then maybe they take a transfer that has to sit out a year. Maybe they look at the coming season without saying it out loud, say, well, you know, we'll see. They have to see what happens with Terrence Davis. By the way, the people that are overreacting to that, you are overreacting. The system allows him to get a grade from the NBA. To get feedback from the NBA, and I'm sure he would love to get invited to the combine. The odds of that are not good. But Terrence needs to get some NBA feedback. I think the feedback, and I wrote this in 10 Thoughts, I think the feedback would be good for him. Because I can generally tell you what the NBA is going to tell him. You're athletic. Welcome to the NBA. Everyone's athletic. You've got to learn how to defend with your feet. You've got to be more instinctive. There's no bigger myth than the NBA doesn't defend. You want to make a team in the NBA, you better be able to defend. And you can make it. And frankly, that's where Terrence Davis is missing it. Terrence Davis's path to the NBA is becoming a great defender with his athleticism. He needs to get in the gym and shoot 2,000 shots a day. He needs to refine his shot. But he's got to become a better mental player. NBA's full of guys who really understand the game. sometimes I think that gets lost when you just play NBA 2K. That's your and frankly, this is not a criticism of Terrence. I've talked to college coaches who say this. One of the problems is that you have a lot of guys on your team that don't watch basketball. They play video games, but they don't watch basketball. They don't understand the communication that's involved in high-level defense.
That'd be a nationwide problem, though, wouldn't it? I mean, it's not like
subset. No. I'm not. This is not picking on Terrence Davis or Ole Miss or anybody. It's nationwide, sure. But his path to an NBA career is reliant on being an elite defender. He has length. He has athleticism. He can jump out of the building. I mean, he has a lot of natural tools. He's got to develop them. And frankly, this last year, he kind of took a step back on a year when he couldn't really afford to take a step back. But I like Terrence a lot. I hope it works out for him. I think he'll be back for his senior year. I think the only question mark right now really is Devontae Shuler, and I don't think anybody really knows what's happening there. And he's like a lot of kids who's probably very behind the scenes, kind of exploring what his options are. And that's happening all over the country too, so it's hard to get like worked up about that. So end of April, 1st of May, I think they'll have a better feel for what their class looks like. And it's critical for them that their 2019 class is impactful.
Kind of curious what Mike Bianco said. He was on SiriusXM this morning with Peter Burns, and Burns just tweeted, "Fantastic insight from Coach Mike Bianco on the limitations and nuances to recruiting in college baseball. Something Mike doesn't normally talk about." So, kind of wondering what that was about. Over 15, 20 minutes.
Career, he might be getting to the point in his career where there's no reason really to be politically correct and bite your tongue. Just tell the truth. You've done it.
Then, I mean, Ron Polk made a history of that.
I never had a problem with Ron Polk doing that. Every time I heard Ron Polk say it, I was like, yeah, he's right. You can be honest and it not be an excuse. I've never heard Mike use it as an excuse. I'd use it as an excuse, frankly. Hell yeah, it's true. It's true. So I'm asked to beat you, and I don't have as many scholarships as you have. I'm not talking about resources. I'm not talking about box seats and luxury clubs and amenities. Those are all great things. Those are fan things, though, Chase.
They're money things.
Yeah, but that's fan things.
Yeah.
You're asking me to beat him, and he's got 19 scholarships. And I have 11.7. I have a daughter. It's a junior in high school, as you know.
Yep.
I promise you that if one school, let's say it comes down to Arkansas and Oklahoma for Campbell, okay? And Arkansas offers an 80% scholarship, and Oklahoma offers a 35% scholarship. Go to Arkansas.
I've gotten down this wormhole over the years with Dan McDonald a couple times. Really never had the conversation with Mike to a deep depth. But, you know, Dan talks about, you know, a lot of times you've got coaches, and this is years ago, this isn't recently, that they got so hung up on percentage to trick parents because it was like what you're talking about. It's, hey, look, so-and-so is going to give you 35%. And then I'm going to give you 15. They go, well, no, I won't take that. And then Dan's got to like literally get calculators out and go, well, here's what you pay, though. Here's what you're actually coming out of pocket, to the point of there have been schools that have lost kids because when it's time to finally write the check, they've essentially misled the kid throughout the entire process to getting him signed on what that percentage means.
Right.
And then suddenly it's, well, hold on now. You said this, this, and this. And then a lot of time, because the kid's locked in, as you talk about these stupid NOIs and stuff.
Hate them.
That you just go ahead anyway and write it, and it becomes what it is. For
well, they put the bumper sticker on the car and all that stuff. They've emotionally invested.
Speaking of bumper stickers, I'll pick the favorite today at some point and tell the winner. I hadn't looked at all of them yet.
But you understand my point.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a player, let's put it in these terms. You're a baseball player. You're a good baseball player, and you're down to Ole Miss, Arkansas, and LSU. Three hella good programs, right? As the kids would say.
Yeah. Chances to make the league, play in front of big crowds, all that stuff.
Everything. They're all great programs. You're from Florida.
Yeah.
You go visit LSU, it's awesome. You come home, how was it? It was awesome. Everything about it was awesome. Huge crowds, blah, 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 blah. Facilities, the whole deal. Do you know how many kids they put the Major League, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Next weekend, you go to Ole Miss. And they play Arkansas, and every time somebody hits a home run, there's thousands of people throwing beer in the air and stuff. And you come home, and how was Ole Miss? It was awesome. It was awesome. They, the crowds, the people, the whole deal, the girls, all that is awesome. Go to Arkansas the next weekend. They get huge crowds too, yeah. Boys and girls.
Yeah.
And they wine and dine you. And big facilities and the whole shooting match. How was Arkansas? It was awesome. Great. I loved it. I loved it. It was awesome. Lots of people. They do this cheer where they call the hogs and stuff. And it's kind of cool. It's kind of like cool, really, if you ask me. I mean, I can't imagine being out in center field listening to that. That was cool. It was awesome. I loved it. So I loved LSU, and I loved Ole Miss, and I loved Arkansas. This is not an unrealistic scenario I'm painting. He's a 17-year-old boy. You don't think he's going to be impressed by all three of those programs? He is. Now, one school can offer almost a whole scholarship. And another school can offer almost a whole scholarship. And Ole Miss can't offer almost a whole scholarship. And so they have to be that much more awesome than the other awesomes. I'm just keeping this real. 9 times out of 10, that kid's not going to Ole Miss. Maybe his family has the financial resources to do it.
Yeah, I mean, those are the exceptions where it just doesn't matter. But
those are exceptions.
Yeah.
That's not real. The majority of them come from families where, well, $8,000 would make a difference. I mean, $8,000, do the math, over 12 months is like $750, $800 a month. Well, that's a couple of car – I know. You go to Arkansas, you go to LSU. And so Mike Bianco never uses that as an excuse. I would. I'd be like, hey, man, we're not on – this is not a level playing field. It's one of the reasons that when people get pissy about the whole Omaha thing, I get it. You're frustrated as a fan. The job he's done over 17 years is absolutely exceptional. When you look at the three programs that are most similar to you, Mississippi State, Alabama and Auburn.
Yeah.
And look at the lack of consistency that they've had compared to Ole Miss. I realize State's made a couple of big runs. They have a great program over there. They do. I'm sorry, but they do.
Yeah.
And they've had good coaches, and they've had good players, and they have fan support and the whole deal. But look at Auburn. Auburn has struggled to do what Ole Miss has done. Alabama has not done what Ole Miss has done. They haven't, and it's all a credit to Mike Bianco.
Yeah, you could walk into the AD's offices at Alabama and Auburn and go, hey, you get Ole Miss's last 10 years, done.
Done.
Don't even think about it.
Done.
Done.
And that's my point. When you're recruiting the high-level kids, the other programs that are recruiting those kids, they offer a lot of the same awesome that Ole Miss offers.
Well, look, this kind of ties into it. I mean, as we kind of finish up this topic, is – Ole Miss has a flaw on its roster, in my opinion. They don't have a lot of outfield depth. It's something that they have a lot of times because they take infielders.
The center fielder I just described to you, he went to LSU.
They take infielders and convert them.
Yeah.
That's what they do. Yeah. They think that the best athletes on the field are shortstops. You take them and move them out and you figure it out.
Right.
And then look, at it works. It's fine.
Yeah.
But a couple different things here. First, the really true outfielder. Well, that guy's pretty wanted by the draft sometimes. So if he's the elite outfielder, he's probably going pro if he can hit and do some other things and run and that kind
of
deal.
Or he's getting one hell of a scholarship.
Yeah, to the in-state school. So it's hard to go. You know, they took J.B. Woodman out of Florida. It was a hell of a recruiting coup.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen a ton. You know, no. They got somewhat of a project in Tanner Mathis, and it worked out over the course of 3-4 years. I mean, you know, Austin Bousfield out of Florida. But, I mean, like someone on the board of the day goes, well, you know, they got the Henry brothers. They were infielders in high school. Jordan Henry was a tennis player and shortstop that turned into an All-SEC outfielder. It happens, but point being –
And that was a while ago, too.
It was 10 years.
I mean, baseball's changed a little.
But point being – You have to be efficient, and then you've got to figure out how can we manage something. Whatever it is you choose to manage. And that's kind of what they choose to manage is outfielders. And for the most part, it works out, but it does lead to some
LSU
some
doesn't
issues.
Have to manage outfielders. No. They go recruit them.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt just goes and recruits them.
Kid from Barb, he gets tops, he comes in, done. Not a big deal.
So it's not the same playing field.
No.
So when people get mad about that being an excuse, it's not an excuse.
Well, no, I mean, ironically, that's what's funny about griping about an excuse. Mike never says anything.
He never uses it as an excuse.
Will not give me an on-record quote about it.
I would. My quote to you would be, yeah, we do the best we can. It's not a level playing field.
Yeah.
It's a flaw.
Podcast brought to you.
What they've done, and everybody gets hung up on what you do in the tournament, and I understand that. The fact that they make the tournament every year, frankly, defies odds.
Yeah.
Because based on, and again, do not give me the speeches about amenities that fans enjoy. Those are awesome, but those are for fans. Those do not impact the game. That club does not hit a 92-mile-an-hour fastball. It's an amenity that gets fans to games. The stuff that impacts games, playing field's not level, and it's remarkable what they've done.
Podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. 662-607-7773 is the number to get a couple different options for pressure washing jobs for podcast listeners. If you got a pressure washing job over 2,000 square feet, $50 off, or if you sign an annual contract, you get a free washing of your driveway and sidewalks with MasterCuts. They'll take care of you all year long. I've been with them for a while. Really appreciate the job they do. Again, 662-607-7773.
Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. Grenada Nissan is just off Interstate 55. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. It is a great place to purchase a vehicle. We've got two of them here at the McCready Manor. So you can take my word for it. It's a great car buying experience, phenomenal service after the sale. Gene and Sandy have been great friends of this site and this podcast for a long time. You're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that's where you should go. GrenadaNissanUSA.com. We've referenced 10 Weekend Thoughts a couple of times on the show already today. 10 Weekend Thoughts is sponsored by Harry Alexander. He is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. It's springtime. Real estate market is hot right now. If you're thinking about buying in Oxford, you owe it to yourself to get in touch with Harry. It's H-A at HarryAlexander.com. Rebel Nation 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. So be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Ole Miss and Arkansas Thursday through Saturday out at Swayze. You can get tickets at olemisstix.com. That's olemisstix.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons and without a five-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Final four is set. You got three Blue Bloods, Villanova, Michigan, and Kansas winning a really nice game against Duke, where Malik Newman
was
crazy.
Fantastic.
31 with all 13 in overtime for the Jayhawks. And then the Loyola Ramblers in the Final Four beating Kansas State up for 40 minutes. A nun is taking over the media part of the Final Four. You know, I'm a little annoyed. Not with Loyola, not with Sister Jean.
I was going to say, it's not her fault.
that the NCAA gets bailed out by this. You've got all this crap going on, and you get this, not just Cinderella, but Catholic religious, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. They get this stupid made-for-TV story in a year that it's nothing but corruption with the FBI going around the sport. And here's this cozy thing that pushes everything over to the side and lets Mark Emmert get down in front of her and get a picture made. I mean, it's – I'm annoyed. I wanted, like – you know, the four dirtiest programs in the country in the Final Four. So that's all we had to talk about. I mean, let's run this thing.
I was hoping for Syracuse and
Auburn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wanted filth.
Arizona.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we just get
Auburn
all those,
versus Arizona in a Final Four game?
Yeah. Jim Nantz, go.
Yeah.
Give your tie to one of those players.
Give your tie to Bruce when it's over.
It's the most self-aggrandizing thing in the world. The tie thing drives me nuts.
Oh, he thinks that people are tuned in to listen to him.
You know, I had a couple buddies that actually ran into him in California that were telling me about it over the weekend. Then said he was actually one of the nicest guys I'd ever met.
That's what I've heard.
Went out of his way, pictures.
That's
like
what I've heard.
Deal.
I've heard he's great. But I
don't know that I would get my picture made with Jim Nantz. I'm pretty sure I would not. Although I've gotten so – I don't know any celebrity or athlete that I would for the most part. I used to. I'm not criticizing at all. I get it. I just
Drew Brees. Saw Drew Brees walking around.
I've
just
become
say, hey, can
so
I get a picture?
Just. I've been around you for so long. I've become jaded and cynical and whatever. And I'm like, yeah, just dudes. Fine. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, I would get my picture made with Brees just because.
When we went to Cubs convention,
Brees has given me a lot of memories.
Yes. When we went to Cubs convention, Carson was in full autograph mode one of the days. And it was, okay, I'll go get in this line and get his autograph, and you go get in this line and get an autograph. And I'm like,
were you weirded out?
Totally. And I did it.
You did it for your kid.
I did it for my son. And I can't remember who it was. It was maybe Tommy La Stella.
Okay.
And I got there. I'm like, my son wants you to autograph this ball. And, of course, my son's in another line getting, like, Mike Montgomery's autograph.
Hold on. Mike Montgomery and Tommy La Stella.
He wanted autographs.
Okay.
All the Cubs were there. Carson's a pretty big fan. He wanted autographs. Now, when an 11-year-old boy gets autographs, it's cool. It's fun. When a grown man is, like, here, oh, God, it was the worst.
You're getting looked at weird.
Yeah, I felt weird. I should have been looked at weird. And I told Carson we're done. I'm like, I'm not doing that again. I'll let you go get in line, and I'll stand in line with you. But I'm – no. Because they're just dudes.
I don't remember the last athlete I've gotten a picture made with.
It would have to be, for me, someone like Ben Zobrist, where I could say –
yeah,
you gave me a really cool memory. It's like I wrote this.
Frankly, that's what a lot of the fans are doing. I mean, that is anything, though.
Right.
I mean, we just have
a
different view of Ole Miss.
We're around them so much that we realize that they're just people who happen to be good athletes.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Dylan's Twitter profile is he and Laramie Tunsil in a picture.
But that's funny.
Yeah, yeah. There's a whole
backstory to that.
Yeah.
So it would have to be something that had a backstory to it. Like, I'd love to get my picture with Laramie Tunsil for the backstory.
So, Laramie, let me ask you something real quick. I don't know. I can't think of the last one.
Well, for me, it would have to be one of the Cubs that won the World Series. That would be it. Because it was – I wrote this when it happened. It's easy to say this now, but I'm glad it took as long as it did. I'm glad it waited till he was old enough to appreciate it and stuff like that. I would not have told you that in October of 2003, but now
yeah,
that
hey,
I've known
you're going
to
get one in 14 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I would have said, no, I want one now.
Oh, gosh. All right.
Kind of weird to see all the people picking the Cubs to win the World Series. And in years past, I would have been like, oh, God, we're jinxed. Oh, God. Now I look at it. I'm like, oh, we are pretty good. I kind of get it.
Teams that can win it, they're one of them.
Yeah, I mean, the teams in baseball that realistically could win the World Series this year, realistically, Dodgers, Cubs, Nationals, Yankees, Red Sox, Indians, Astros, obviously, maybe the Angels. And after that, you're really stretching. I mean, you'd have to go into that next tier and say Brewers, Cardinals, because they're contenders. Phillies, maybe. Rockies, Diamondbacks. I mean, you're really...
It's starting to get into a mess.
You're really stretching. I mean, if someone goes, well, the Braves aren't winning the World Series. They're not good enough. Now, they're interesting, and I think they're going to be a fun team to watch, but I don't know that they're ready to win a World Series.
Everybody likes Ronald Acuna pretty well.
He's a stud. And yes, the Braves are doing the right thing, sending him down for 2 or 3 weeks. Yes. Yes, it's the right thing. It's something that the players' union should negotiate in the next labor agreement. And the next labor agreement, if you're a baseball fan, prepare yourself. This next labor deal is going to have some unrest. But the Braves are absolutely doing the right thing in the same way that the Cubs did the right thing with Chris Bryant. It delayed his free agency.
Yeah, of course. It's standard now.
It's the right thing. It's the smart thing. You're running a business. You're not running a PR firm. That's why what the Astros did with Jose Altuve was, while it was really cool and it had to make everybody feel good, it's a gamble.
So you got, we'll talk about it plenty as the week goes on, you got Villanova, Michigan for the title?
Yeah. Michigan's good.
Michigan has played no one. They everybody talked about Kentucky because Cal's a loudmouth. Michigan has not faced a top four seed, I don't think.
I don't think they have either. They're good, though.
They're good.
They're a solid team.
He's done a really good
job. Loyola's very good. They run a lot of offense.
That guy had never had a winning conference record until this season.
He's got a veteran team. Mm-hmm. For the people that are using them as some mainframe for a program like Ole Miss, stop. Stop.
The fan base would not allow a cyclical approach where you're only even competitive 1 out of 4 years, right, with a hope of doing something.
Yeah, it wouldn't work.
You'd have to be the Florida Marlins where you fire sell and get one shot and just happen to hit the lottery both times.
Yeah, they're a great story. They're a cute story. They were not even the number one seed in their conference tournament. They got hot. It's fun. As Cecil Hurt says, if you ever wondered what Cinderella looked like at 98, now you know. They're a great story. It's an awesome story that no one wants to see end. But it's not realistic. They could not replicate this.
Loyola now promoting and selling her likeness.
Sure.
She gave permission to not ask for compensation.
Cash in. Why not?
I'm not sure she can't. What?
I don't know what the rules of the club are.
Well, I mean, there is a vow of poverty, is there not?
I think so. So she can't.
Yeah, I'm not. Help me here. I have no idea. Someone tell me if she could receive compensation or how's that work. Fill me in because I don't know the answer to that.
Of course, I'm guessing that they're putting her up in a decent hotel right now, that she's okay.
Well, yeah, she's not buying a Southwest flight to San Antonio on Friday. I mean, she's with the team. She's their chaplain.
She's enjoying their moment in the sun. As she should.
She's been their chaplain since 93, 94, or something like that.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a great story.
Apparently, she does a little coaching, too. Yes. Like I saw one story. They were like, yeah, you know, she'll, like, do the prayer and then be like, hey, box out a little better, huh?
She clearly loves the kids.
Yeah.
The kids clearly love her. It's a great story. I hate that it's going to end here soon, but it's a great story.
It's going on a while.
It has. She's had 2 weeks.
Has there ever been a worse year? And I'm sure the answer is yes. But with her and everything else, for a 16 to beat a 1 and it no longer be a story in 10 days because of Loyola?
I was just thinking about that last night. I was laying in the bed and I couldn't sleep. And I thought, who was the 16 that beat Virginia? And for the longest time, I couldn't think of it. I went, oh, yeah, Maryland, Baltimore County. And I went, what you just did. They are forgotten.
Loyola has taken over the tournament now.
Well, the tournament is about Cinderella.
Cinderella's got to get past the first weekend to be Cinderella.
Yeah. That's where you become
Cinderella doesn't just beat one team. They beat two.
Got to beat two.
And now beat four.
You almost got to beat three.
Elite eight.
You got to get to the elite eight to really resonate. George Mason made the final four.
They did. They weren't as good of a story just because of the lack of side characters involved, but yeah.
Well, Sister Jean has made this. We're all cheering for her. I mean, who's going to cheer against a nun on Easter weekend?
Ooh, I didn't think about that.
Oh, you didn't see the tweet?
No.
Let me find it. The greatest tweet ever. Let me find it.
It's a high bar. Been a lot of good tweets.
Yeah, but this was... Let me find it.
They have a shot here to beat Michigan?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, they have a shot.
All right.
Let me find it. Just give me a second. Y'all go ahead. This is World of Isaac. Y'all go ahead and root against the nun in the backwards hat on the night Jesus comes back from the dead. See how that works for you.
Good point.
See how that works out for you.
Loyola Villanova for the national title.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's the night before Easter, and Loyola's out there with the nun essentially as the mascot. I'm going to tell you, I'm not betting against them. I mean, I think Michigan's winning, but Jeffrey, if you're putting money down on Michigan on Saturday night, you are really tempting the fates.
If you're Jay Wright, I mean, don't you have a hard time convincing your players to, let's take Loyola seriously on Monday night if it got down to it? It's amazing I'm riding off Kansas, but I do think
because it's a national championship game.
Yeah.
No. I mean, all you got to do if you want to get serious is go show Duke and Butler to them and show Gordon Hayward shot there at the buzzer.
Yeah, go, hey.
And say, hey, fellas, at this moment when this ball is on the rim, if it falls,
they lose.
Butler's the national champion.
Yeah.
No, if you get to Monday night, there's none of that.
Yeah. They're here.
He's quietly turned Villanova into a superpower.
Oh, they're great. Best team in the tournament. We'll see if they win two more games, but they are the best team in the tournament.
So. We will have guests on the show throughout the week. They will join us on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. You should, speaking of Easter, enjoy Easter candy favorites from Billy's Pecans. This Easter, enjoy their classic Southern Pecan Toffee, Pecan Brittle, or some of both with the Candy Duet Sampler. Each 20% off now through today. This is through today. I'm going to post this on the message board too, because you got to get it delivered. So this is due through today. Don't put this off. Promo code is Easter at checkout. Easter, E-A-S-T-E-R. 20% off at billyspecans.com. That's online, billyspecans.com. Orders through midnight tonight, billyspecans.com. The Moonlight Grahams will be playing Saturday, April the 28th at World Music Nashville in the Bellevue area at 7 p.m. The Moonlight Grahams are a folk Americana band started by Ole Miss grad John McCann. Tickets are $10. That includes a digital copy of their new album. The digital download cards will be given to you when you arrive. You can buy tickets off their Facebook page or on TicketZone.com. Make sure to get the tickets before they sell out. You'll absolutely love it. Remember, their new album, The Moonlight Grahams, is out on Spotify and iTunes. Make sure to follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you like them, spread the word. The show, Saturday, April 28th, World Music Nashville at 7 p.m. You don't want to miss The Moonlight Grahams.
So, we'll, as Neil said, we'll have some guests as the week goes on. Big baseball week again, Southern Miss Tuesday night, and then Arkansas Thursday to Saturday because of Easter being on Sunday. Number four also in Baseball America. I haven't seen D1 baseball, but barring something odd, that's where they'd have to go there too. So, probably number four across the different polls this week as they start another week. Again, it's the highest in 10 years, 2008, the last time they've been higher than that. So we'll have coverage of baseball, recruiting, spring football, and more on the site. We'll talk to you tomorrow.